Oh, wow. I almost used ChatGPT. I almost did it. I almost totally did the same dadgum thing. Chancellor Martin, thank you so much for that incredibly gracious introduction. There's really nowhere to go but downhill from here. Good morning, everyone. I'm Sterling. He, him. And this is really where I get incredibly nervous. You know, they offered me a ghostwriter to write this speech, and Ignoramus over here decided that I had to turn down that most generous offer, had to come straight from the heart. You know what I mean? Yeah, I know, but then I was late turning the damn thing in, only by a couple of hours, but still. I had months to prepare, but Dr. Procrastinator over here had to wait till the 11th hour, so let's hope this thing doesn't completely fall apart, you know what I mean? Here we go. Class of 2023, you did it. After years of hard work and dedication, your day has come. You are graduates. And here in front of friends and family, we celebrate your success. And while this chapter of your formal education has ended, the next chapter of your life awaits. After all, this isn't the "it's over" speech. This is a commencement address. This is the beginning of something new. And I'm sure many of you are wondering, what's next? I've been there. And the only reassuring thing I can tell you after having been out of school for over 20 years now is that I'm still there. I ask myself the same daggum question every day. What am I going to do now? You see, impermanence is the natural state of the universe. Everything changes all the time. Sometimes those changes are so imperceptible we're not always conscious of them. But nothing stays the same forever. And this fact of impermanence is something we're all aware of. The only thing that's constant is change. All good things must come to an end, yada, yada, yada. But if this is so, then why do we so frequently face change with resistance? Because we love the familiar. Routine is comforting. Knowing what to expect and when to expect it throughout the course of your day, the habitual becomes a sanctuary, a safe place. And for the past several years, that's exactly what WashU has been for you. This has been your home. And it's good to be home, right? I know it is for me. This is my city, folks. Born and bred. I'm straight out of Barnes Hospital, yo. Lived in Olivet from 0 to 18 and graduated from MICDS, in case you didn't know the answer to that oh-so St. Louis question. My family and friends, whom I only get to see a couple of times a year, are here supporting me today, and that feels real good. And I thank you for being here, fam. Being on this campus, having been asked to speak to you all today, is one of the great honors of my life. This school, and I'm gonna say this quietly so no one else gets jealous, is the academic jewel of St. Louis. Everywhere I go in these United States, when I tell folks that I'm from St. Louis, they inevitably ask me two questions. Number one, are you a Cardinals fan? Answer, of course, tough season. But of course. And number two, did you go to WashU? And sadly, while the answer to that question is no, I can tell them that I went to the WashU of the West. I've actually never said that before, but for the purposes of this speech, let's pretend that I have. And since you've been so kind as to bestow this honorific on me, I will definitely use it in the future, okay? And my mom, she really, really wanted me to apply to WashU. She says, you know it's one of the top universities in the country, don't you? I said, of course I did. I took classes on this campus. Summer between my junior and senior year as a part of the En-ROADS St. Louis internship program. Shout out to En-ROADS. My high school's fledgling Ultimate Frisbee team had no other schools to play against, and so the Bears courteously gave us a mollywhopping on more than one occasion. And given that my undergrad, aka the Wash U of the West, didn't start until late September, I kicked it real hard on this campus, and I can say from personal experience, y'all know how to have a good time. So why didn't I apply? In short, I was ready for a change. I was ready to leave the crib and experience something new, and it changed my life. You see, until I left home, I naively believed that the way in which I was raised was the only way in which you could be raised in order to have a successful future. Kinda. Let me explain what I mean by this. My mother, Arlene Brown, is a God-fearing woman. Jesus Christ is her Lord and Savior, and she most certainly believes that if you spare the rod, you will most assuredly spoil the child. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with this bit of scripture, basically she believes in beating butts. Corporal punishment, no apologies. And folks, if you weren't raised this way, talk to your friends who were. We love trading war stories about who got it worse. What kind of belt, switch, cord you got used on, how much you begged for that cup to pass you by before the actual flogging began, and how you quietly cursed them under your breath after the licks had been doled out. We laugh. We think it's hilarious. Even more so when we encounter someone who was raised differently and is utterly shocked by the intensity of our disciplinary rituals. You'll hear comments like, Bro, if that was me, like, I don't know if I would have allowed that. Sounded like Kanye on slavery. I'm like, allowed that? What are you talking about? If she was gonna allow me to stay in her house, I'd have to allow her to beat my butt. That was the agreement, and it was a fair one. Or you're like, dude, like what kind of relationship do you have with your mom now? I love my mom. She's the absolute best. She's playful, intelligent, open and loving, incredibly plain spoken, and she didn't take any mess. Now, let me be clear. This is not a hard knock story. My home was incredibly stable. I grew up in one house, went to one elementary school, shout out to Spady, and one school for middle and high school. I grew up with both of my parents until my father passed away. And even then, I was surrounded by family. My older brother and sister took turns coming back to live with us, and my aunts and uncles, grandmother, cousins, nieces, and nephews were only minutes away. And everybody's doing all right, and we all caught our fair share of whoopings. Now, the point is, I thought you needed to be whipped / spanked in order to have discipline. In order to use, quote, the good sense that God has given you. That's the way my mama would say it. You ain't got the good sense that God has given you. And even more so, I thought if you didn't have God in your life, more specifically, if you had not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you were doomed to burn in a lake of fire for all of eternity, and I would pray for your immortal soul because that is the good Christian thing to do. Now, however, by virtue of having left home, the way in which I see the world has shifted, or rather I should say it has expanded. I've met too many people of different backgrounds, religious or otherwise, who have never had a finger laid upon them to think that the way that I was raised is the only path to achievement or salvation. It's just one way. I no longer concern myself with saving someone's soul or feeling the need to proselytize. My only goal is to love you, to be present and share myself with you as fully as possible. And if you see something in my being that draws you in, if my conduct is reflective of the divine in some shape, form, or fashion, then we can have a conversation. The indoctrination of home can oftentimes be at odds with the evolution of the soul. And it's not until you leave that you truly discover what your own personal path is. You have to step outside of the comfort and convenience of that which is familiar and chart the undiscovered country of discomfort until it becomes your new norm. Or not. You will discover that not everything is for you. You may only need to do ayahuasca once to recognize that it's not your jam. Or not. You may discover that your soul is as spiritually fed at a mosque or a synagogue, in a theater or in nature, as it is in church. Or not. You may discover that your people, the individuals with whom you share the most common ground, aren't just of your ethnicity, religion, political affiliation, gender, or sexual orientation. They may or may not share a similar occupation or hobbies. For me, my only concern is whether or not the company I keep bears good fruit. Galatians 5:22-23 defines the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In Matthew 7:16, Jesus says, "Ye shall know them by their fruit." You may discover that there's just as much love outside of the church as there is hypocrisy inside of it. Or not. At the end of the day, you may discover that everything with which you were raised is perfect for you, and exactly what you wish to instill in your own children, if and when that is a path you choose to follow. But by virtue of having taken it out into the world and holding it up against other modalities, you have the privilege of knowing concretely that your life and the way in which you live it are perfectly designed for you, and never having to wonder whether there is a better way or simply another way that is just as good for you. And if you can't test it, if you feel as if the choices you've made that govern the way in which you live your life are beyond scrutiny, self or otherwise, then you may wish to question how strong the foundation is on which you have built your life. Now, I'm sure many of you have already begun this journey of exploration while here at WashU. Many of you have already left your homes to discover St. Louis, and even those of you who stayed in the Midwest have inevitably met people from many different walks of life. You are actively bearing witness to how many different paths lead to the same destination. And while your time here has now come to an end, I wish to gently encourage you to never stop acquainting yourself with the unknown. And whatever fear that may accompany that initial foray into the wilderness, replace it with curiosity, and it becomes infinitely less daunting. It is my experience that you will find what you are looking for, be it help or hindrance. Seek after the light, and while you may not always know where you are going, your path will always be illuminated. The Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu said, "At the center of your being, you have the answer. You know who you are, and you know what you want." Now, if any of you have experienced moments of stillness, when you feel in tune with nature and the cacophony of modernity has been turned down to a minimum, you will unequivocally know what Lao Tzu is referring to. There is a still, small voice which gently whispers to you the direction in which you should go. Call it intuition, call it spirit, call it God. What you call it is not as important to me as to whether or not you choose to listen to it. My theory is that it tells us exactly what we need to do, and we're the only ones that know what it's saying. And it is this internal hearing that allows for the outward exploration that I've been speaking about. Now, we come to college for different reasons. We want to give ourselves the best chance for economic success, to gain a broad-based liberal arts education so we can be informed citizens of the world, to immerse ourselves within a particular trade or field of study. For me, the goal of higher education is the same overriding goal I have for my life, and that is to become the next best version of myself. And you're the only one who knows what that is for you. But you have to give yourself the time and space to listen to what is already inside. Since I was 14 years old, I loved acting. Didn't think it was a practical pursuit, but I loved it. I was way too pragmatic to think that I was gonna go to the Wash U of the West to become a starving artist. I had an internship at the Fed, I had great grades in math and economics, and all roads led to a very stable life in corporate America. And the whole time, everyone around me thought that I was making all the right choices for my life. My still small voice would say to me every time I did a play, "That's better, isn't it?" My soul would become alive every time I was on stage, and my grades would actually get better. Now, I had to hear the message several times before I actually took it seriously. It took some time before the internal voice of knowing outweighed the external voices of expectancy. Listening to your soul can, at times, be a very isolating experience. Or rather, it may isolate you from some and unite you with several others. I can tell you all right now that not every member of my family co-signs everything that I've said here today. I'm Hollywood now, baby. I talk about different religions and philosophers. I like goat cheese on my salads. Some are probably bewildered that I don't beat my kids, and I'm pretty sure that most of them did not get my ayahuasca reference. And that's okay, because they don't have to agree with me about every little thing for them to love me or for me to love them. And that, my friends, is freedom. A freedom that comes more easily with the passage of time, but a freedom I hope you can grant yourselves sooner rather than later. Represent your home well, but you can't live your life to please them, especially if it is at odds with that internal knowing that is inside. So, what's next? We continue to mine the depths of the soul as we explore the vastness of the universe. We replace fear with curiosity, knowing that growth requires discomfort. We become the next best version of ourselves. And we step away from home, knowing that you will always be welcomed back. Thank you, class of 2023, for allowing me to speak with you today, and congratulations on a job well done. Peace.